Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot is daf Yutet, and we are holding right at the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Once again, a moment to become reoriented here. Yesterday, the Gemara suggested that the Mishnah can't be going on Libet Rabbi Shimon, because since Rabbi Shimon holds that Yitzika is one of the things that the Kayanim absolutely must be mekabel on themselves as Aveda Kuhuna, it's clear that he holds that Yitzika cannot be done with a Zar. And yet, the way that we understood our Mishnah is that if the Mishnah says Lo Yatzak Kosher means Lo Yatzak B'Kohen Ela B'Zar, then the Mishnah is saying, Dafka, you don't need a Kohen, and it's not Ma'akir. We tried figuring out that maybe Rabbi Shimon has the difference between a korban mincha that does have a specific mitzvah to do the kmitza. So over there, the Torah says only mishas kmitza ve'elach mitzvahs kuhuna. But if there's no mitzvah of doing any kind of kmitza, where would that be? Well, minchas kohen doesn't take kmitza because the whole thing is put on the mizbeach. Or minchas nesachim doesn't take kmitza, the whole thing is put on the mizbeach. So maybe there it's different. But we ended up showing that that doesn't work. And that actually the makor for the dinim would be the same, and therefore we wouldn't have a right to make that chilek. In which case, we ended up saying, it looks like we're going to have to bite the bullet. The Mishnah is not going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. But now, today we'd like to look a little bit more deeply into the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon on the one hand, that Yitzika requires kuhuna, and the Rabbanan on the other hand, that Yitzika does not require kuhuna. So my time with the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan hold that Yitzika is not included in the 15 different things that the Kohen has to absolutely be mekabel on himself as being unique to the Avedas HaKuhuna? Omar Kram, so they say, well, it seems pretty clear. If you take a look at the Pasuk, you will see that Yitzika can't be part of what is Ma'akev, and we already saw this yesterday. It says, V'yatzaka le'ashemen, v'natana le'em levona, and only then does it say, V'viyal ha'arona kohanim v'kamatz. So what is that telling you? That Kmitza is the first place where Kuhuna kicks in. Up until then, Yitzika, levona, but not, does not require the Kuhuna. That can be done by anybody. Mikmitza ve'elech, so the kuhuna kicks in only at kmitza. Then is mitzvat kuhuna, which teaches you that very clearly the yitzika and the belila, all of that which is done prior to the kmitza, all of that can be done by a zar. So it's kshera b'zar. So where does Rabbi Shimon get the idea that actually it would be puzzle? So Rabbi Shimon says, we did this yesterday, actually, but we're going back to go through the other reasons that we end up saying is the book of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, since it says, B'nei Aharon, and you are referring that that means that the only time that the kuhuna kicks in is by kmitza, your mistake is not to realize that the word B'nei Aharon in the pasuk does not refer to what's coming. It refers to what was also. And therefore, the B'nei Aharon HaKohanim follows the rule that Mikra Nidrash Lifanav Ulachara, so that the words B'nei Aharon HaKohanim refers to the words before, which was the Yitzika and the Belila. So when it says V'yatzaka LaHashem, V'natana LeLevona, V'evial B'nei Aharon, that B'nei Aharon is going back on all of the above, including the Yitzika and including the Nitzinas Levona. That's the reason. Really now, says the Gemara, that's the reason, is it? So you're telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Al-Acharav. Well, I can show you that actually Rabbi Shimon does not hold to that klal. Rabbi Shimon does not believe that Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Al-Acharav. V'sova Rabbi Shimon Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Al-Acharav. Take a look at his braita. V'lakacha Kohen Midama Chatat Be'etzba'o. Now you remember that important idea that etzba requires always means the right etzba, right? Okay, so first it says, the Kohen should take the damachatas be'etzba'o, v'natan al karnot mizbacha ola. Well, what does that mean? Well, since it says Be'etzba'ol, relating back to the Vilakacha Kohen, which would mean that the Pusik refers to what came before it, it says, as far as I'm concerned, Be'etzba'ol Vilakach, which means that the Kabbalah would have to be done with the right hand, because Etzba'o always means the right hand. Wow. Okay, and then it says Be'etzba'o, followed by Vinatan, which is the Mikra Nidresh La'acharav, and that tells me Shalotei Nitina Ela B'yamin. So the Dam has to be put on the Mizbeach with his right hand, and it also would have to be Mikubal with his right hand. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, oh, no, it doesn't say anything over here about Kabbalah with the right hand. V'chinemar Yad B'Kabbalah? Does it say anything about his hand or his etzba with the act of Kabbalah? V'lakach? No, it only says it on Vinatan. So it must, this is Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that it's not true. And Hoyal V'lo Ne'mar Yad B'Kabbalah, says Rabbi Shimon, I say that if he would use his left hand for Kabbalah, it would actually be kosher. And we ended up understanding there that the basis of the Machlokas was the way that Abaye understood it. The Omer Abaye, what's the Nafkamina in how to read the Pasuk between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? They're arguing about whether Mikra Nidrash Lefanav V'Le'acharav. That's the whole point. And so the Tanakhama holds that it goes both, the word Be'etzba'o, which means Yamin, goes back both on the Vilakach and on the Vinatan. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, the Vilakach means from that point on Be'etzba'o Vinatan. But up until there, the din of Etzba doesn't kick in, which applied over here would be saying the same thing. The Kahuna that you're claiming, that he says the kahuna has to be understood as referring to what was before it, namely the viatzak, no, not true. The kahuna does not kick in until we get up to v'kamatz. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Shimon? This is the whole point, is that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that idea. And Rabbi Shimon holds that a mikra is actually nidrash, not lefanav. It's only nidrash la'acharav, bedavka. So don't give me that. All right, all right. This business about needing to be consistent, you know. Heiner time at Rabbi Shimon, I'll tell you what the real reason is. The real reason is the Vav. Since it says Vikamatz, that adds the Vav, connects it to the Viyatzak, Vikamatz, which means that therefore I'm putting you right 100%. I only learned the Dinah Kahuna on the Kmitza, but remember that a Vav is actually connects things together, and that tells me that just like the Kamitza requires Kahuna, that you told me you agree, we're all agreed on that, then therefore, and even though it wasn't referring back to what came before it, but the Vav connects it to what comes before it. Oh, so now you've come up with a new Baba Maisa. First, it's this business about Rabbi Shimon believing there's a difference between a Minchas Kain and a Minchas Yisrael. Well, I showed you that that wasn't true. Then you come up with this new idea, Mikra Nidrash Lefanav V'Le'acharav. I show you that that's not true. Now you're coming up with this other. I mean, you just make these things up as you go along. So now we're talking about that Rabbi Shimon holds that the Vav is going to be Mechaber, the din of the Kmitza to the din of the Yitzika. Well, I'm going to prove to you that actually Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold to that kind of deal, and that a Vav is not going back and connecting. You're telling me that for Sava Rabbi Shimon, Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon, that you can always go backwards with a drasha if there's a Vav that connects it to the thing before. That's what you're claiming. Okay, how are you going to explain the fact, therefore, that when it says in the Pusik, not Legabi Menachas, this is Legabi Zvachim, Vishachatet ben Abakar, now look at this, here's a Vav. Vishachatet ben Abakar, vihikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim et Adam. Now, what do we learn from there? That the Kohuna kicks in only at the moment of vihikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim et Adam. What's that referring to? It's referring to Kabbalah. So, vizorku et Adam. So we know that the Kabbalah has to be done with the Kohanim, but only the Kabbalah. Up until then, meaning the Shechita, you don't need the Kohen. So here we're talking about the kahuna kicking in only at the point of Kabbalah, despite the fact that it says that ve'hikrivu b'nei Aaron, right? So nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon goes along with the dinah mikabbalah ve'elech mitzvat kahuna. Never heard anybody that says the shechita has to be done by a kohen. Melamed ala shechita shekshera bizar. Now, if you're telling me, according to Rabbi Shimon, vav is mosif alinyan rishon, this is ridiculous. Since there's a vav in which it should add that the vehikrivu b'nei Aaron goes back to what it said before, which was the v'shachatet ben habakar, then the ben habakar should also be needing kahuna. That's the logic that you said over the air, that the v'yatzak requires kahuna because the vav connects it to the v'kamatz. So then the v'shachat requires kahuna because the vav connects it to the v'lakach. So I don't understand the difference. So again, you're not giving me a consistent explanation in Rabbi Shimon, because il Rabbi Shimon vav meisif alin rishon, so then shlita should be kosher bizar. Shlita should be pasul bizar in the same way that Yitzika is pasul bizar, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to you, right? Well, no. Why not? Because the first word of the pasuk also begins with a vav, now doesn't it? And what was the pasuk that led into this pasuk, mind you? That pasuk is the din of smicha. V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola v'nirtzalo l'chaper alav v'shachat. That's how to understand it. And that means that smicha and shechita are compared to each other when the Torah puts these two psukim right next to each other. It's being makish, the smicha, to the shlita. Just like the smicha obviously doesn't require kahuna because the smicha can only be done by the person who's bringing it. And if the owner's not a kohen, he's the one that's got to do the smicha. And therefore, the shlita is also possible to be done by an owner who's not a kohen. So just like the smicha is kosher bizarim, so too is the shechita kosher b'sar. In this particular case, we cannot say that the vav is mosif al inyan rishon, because if you got a choice between looking at the drasha of vav mosif al inyan rishon or looking at a hekesh that the Torah makes by putting smicha and shechita together, a hekesh is always going to come first. And therefore, in this case, we go with the hekesh, and the hekesh is a zar can go ahead and do the shechita. Hey, wait a minute. So if that's the case, you just got me thinking. The smicha has to be done only by the owner of the korban. So then if you're telling me that it's a hekesh, then I should say the shechita can only be done by the owner of the korban. How about that, huh? I mean, let's be consistent, you know, ein hekesh lebechsa. So let's go all the way, baby, and we'll say that the Torah is being mechayev the owner to do the shechita. No, you can't say that. Ahula matzis amret. Because it's a kal v'chomer. The zrikas hadam, which is the main thing that the whole korban revolves around, that's the moment of the kapora, right? So you're telling me, now this owner did smicha, and he says his vidui, and so now it comes time for the zrika, and now he's not going to do it? I mean, if he had to do even the smicha, which is not even ma'akev, so you're telling me that he doesn't have to do the zrika? It's a kal v'chomer. If the zrika, which is the ikar kapara lo bari balim, that doesn't have a din of balim, so then if that's the case, shechita, which is not essential to the kapara, lo kosher ken, that it can be done by anybody, not only by the balim. Now, I know what you're going to answer to that. You're going to tell me, how can you compare the two? Shechita requires kahuna. No. Shechita can be done by anybody. Okay, then the Bailam is important, maybe. But Zrika requires kahuna. How about if the owner's not a kohen? So what's he supposed to do? He can't possibly do the Zrika. So how can we learn out something that's impossible, from something that's impossible? There's no way to allow him to do the Zrika because he's not a kohen. And therefore what? Therefore he shouldn't do the Shechita either? I mean, should we be learning out something which is possible from something which is impossible? So you'll tell me I cannot learn from there that it doesn't mean that anybody should be able to do the shechita. Maybe indeed the Bailam has to do the shechita. So I'll tell you, how do I really know that the Balaam does not have to do the Shechita? Take a look at Yom Kippur. Comes to Yom Kippur, Aaron has to bring Bezot Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, Bepar Ben Bakar. He's got to bring his own Par Ben Bakar, right? Now, we know that it belongs to him, and yet, when it comes to the dinim of the Aveda of Yom HaKippurim, which anyway, everything is done by the Kohen, right? So I wouldn't be able to learn anything out of the fact that Aaron does all the work on Yom Kippur. He does every single thing on Yom Kippur. So that doesn't prove anything. But the thing is that when it comes to the Shechita of the Par on Yom HaKippurim, the Torah says the craziest thing. V'shachat et parachatat asher lo. Well, what is that supposed to mean, asher lo? Obviously asher lo. You just said, bezot yavo Aaron, and I don't understand. Why are you repeating to tell me it has to be from his? We said that. The point over here that I'm trying to make is that here there is a din of the Balaam. And that when it comes to the Shechita of the Par Yom HaKippurim, here it would be, and only here it would be a halacha that we want Aaron to do it because it's his also. And therefore, it's certainly nowhere else, which means bichlal de shechita bi'alma, if we weren't talking about Yom Kippur, regular shechita, shechita bi'alma would not require the Balaam. Okay. Anyway, that finally allows us to understand the mocker of Rabbi Shimon. And we now understand the basis of Rabbi Shimon's machlokas with the Chachamim, and we get to another mimer of Rav. And that is that if you want to know, which is what we've been looking for, what things are ma'akev in the mincha, what things are not ma'akev in the mincha, and we have this whole list in the Mishnah, and this is the basic thing that we're talking about over here in the Mishnah, all of those various things that if he didn't do or didn't do properly, that they would still be kosher. What allows us to make those determinations? Whether to something that the Torah says is only a preferred avoda, or it's the way it's got to be. So Rav says, well, if the Torah uses in any of the dinim over here of the korbanos the word Torah, zot ha-Torah, zot Torat, and chukah, which means either that it says chok olam or something like that, then that makes it ikuva. And if you don't do that, it means if it said those words about this, well, then you're going to be passeling what you're doing if you don't do it that way. Now, what we originally thought was that you need both. You need the word Torah and you need chukah. And why would I think that? Well, I mean, you know why. There's like this beautiful model for that concept, right? Zot chukat haTorah. Zot chukat haTorah. Like, that's the way the Torah introduces something that is the absolute ikuva. And we're talking over there about the Parah Aduma. And of course, that would be our model. So wherever we find in a parsha the word chukah coupled with in that parsha Torah, so then that means it's ma'akev. Well, wait a minute. How about a nazir? Now, by the nazir, it says, Zot Torat HaNazir. That doesn't say anywhere in the parsha of nazir anything about a chok. So, nonetheless, strangely, the din is that what it does say in the Torah is ma'akev. But why would it be ma'akev? The din is that actually you need to do a tenufa together with the lechem of the nazir. You have to do tenufa together with the shok of the el nazir. So why is that ma'akev? All it says is, v'natan al kapei ha-nazir ve'nifotam ha-kohen, and so on. Doesn't say a word about chok. So why would that be ma'akev? No, that's different. That's different. Because at the end of the pasuk, it says something completely unnecessary. It says, beferish these words, kain ya'aseh. That's the way he's got to do it. And that's in that same pasuk of Zot Torat HaNazir. Zot Torat HaNazir asher yidor korbano l'Hashem, etc., etc. Milvat asher tasig yado, kefi nidro asher yidor, Kein Yaseh. I mean, obviously Kein Yaseh. So Kein Yaseh, therefore, is the equivalent of saying Chok. You got to do it this way and no other way. And that's together with Zot Torat HaNazir. So that is a perfect example of Zot Chukat HaTorah. I mean, let's not be overly literal. It means the same thing. It boils down to the same thing. Okay, fine. All right, I got another question. What about a Korban Torah? Now, it does say in the Parsha of the Korban Torah, agreed, V'zot Torat Zevach HaShlamim Im Al Todah Yakrivena. So that is basically the Torat. Now you show me some place where it says Chukah. It doesn't say anything about Chukah. And it just says Torah. Lo Ktiva De'ela Torah. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says Beferish. The different four lechems, types, that you have with the Torah are all ma'akev. And if you don't have even one of those kinds, the whole korban is kaput. So apparently, without chok, Torah tells me ikufa. You said, Rav, you need both Torah and chok based on Zot Torat, based on Zot Chukat HaTorah. It says, Gemara, that's different because we have a hekesh. Remember that the Arba Lechem in the Torah is the basis of the Shnei Lechem of the Nazir, because I only learn out the dinim of those lechomim from the din of the Torah, because it says, Gabi the Lechem, it says, Al Zevach Todat Shlamav. What's Shlamav? Weird. I mean, you want to call it the Todat Shlamim? What's it? Al Zot Todat? Just say Al Zevach Todat. So the Shlamav, which is Lashon Rabim, and he's only bringing one korban, we darsh him from there that there's another korban he's going to have to treat like this with the Lechem. And what would that? That is coming to be Marbe, the lechem that was mentioned by the Shalmei Nazir. And that's telling me that that special shlamim, which is the ayel, has the same dinim of the lechem ha-teirah. Now, since it didn't tell me how to make those two dinim by the Nazir, I don't know. What do I do with them? You look to the way in which we learn out the details of the lechem ha-teirah, and the two out of the four, which are mentioned by the El Nazir, have to be made the same way they would be made with the Zevach HaTodah. So, okay, so that means that we have a Hekesh over here comparing the Nazir's Lechem which with the Todah Lechem. And that tells us that we use Asura Kavim for the number of the matzahs, which was the matzahs and the lechem, which was 20, and we have a quarter of a luk for each group. Fine, those are the protein dinner. But the bottom line is that once the Torah is actually telling me that Torah and Nazir are the same, so then that means the same way that we learned Nazir is ma'akev because of the Kein Yaseh, that goes back and tells me that the Torah has to be the Kein Yaseh. So Memela, both of them are going to be ma'akev, even though it doesn't say chukah. Okay, I find that a little bit of a stretch, but all right, let's take a look at the mitzorah. Now, it does not say zot chukat ha-mitzorah anywhere. It says zot torat ha-mitzorah. And nonetheless, without the word Torah, it does say in the Mishnah Beferish, arba'a minim shebimitzorah me'akvim ze et ze. So we've got four different things that are mentioned in that pasuk that you have to bring as the first step to being betayer the mitzvah. And what is that? Shtei tziporim chayot, eitz erez, shni tolat, ve'ezot. Those are the four things that you have to bring. If you're missing any of those four things, you're not going to be able to be betayer the mitzvah. Why? It doesn't say anywhere that there's a chok. Ah, but it does say the word tihiyeh. Now remember, wherever the word havaya occurs, it means bahavayatoti. It's got to be this way, and you cannot change anything. We've had this hundreds of times. Any word that has existential meaning, so that if we talk about haya, who, havaya, in any way, in here it says zot tihiyeh torat ha-mitzorah. It doesn't say zot torat ha-mitzorah. It uses the word tihiyeh, which tells exactly the same as telling me this Torah HaMitzvah is chukah. You cannot do anything with it. It's command dechtiv bechukah dami. All right. What about Yom Kippur? Now, on Yom Kippur, it does say chukah. Yes, v'italachem lechukat olam. Yes. But it doesn't say anywhere zot torat Yom HaKippurim. It only says chukah. And the din is over there. Shnei sirei Yom HaKippurim me'akvim zed zeh. So if you don't have the shnei sirim, one of which is the Sayyir La'azazel, and the other one is the Sayyir Bifnim, you cannot bring either of them. So how do we know that? How do we know that there's, without the din of Torah, and it just says chukah, how do we know that it's ma'akev? That is a problem. I don't have an answer to that. Okay, so I'll have to admit, therefore, that chukah alone, as it appears in Yom Kippur, was sufficient to tell me that it's ma'akev. All right, so I guess we were wrong. When Rav said that we're going to use the pasuk of Zot Chukat HaTorah, we thought he meant both. No, he must have meant either or. That's what it was referring to. So if it says either Torah or Chukah, then it's going to be Ma'akev. Excuse me, that's not true either. Because if that were true, then all of the Karbanos, everything that it says by all of the Karbanos should be Ma'akev, because it says Torah. And it's not Ma'akev. Where does it say Torah and all of the Karbanos? Our favorite pasuk back in Zvachim, from which we learned that all the Karbanos are compared to each other. Zot ha-Torah la'ola la'mincha v'la'chatat v'la'asham v'la'miluhim v'la'zevach ha-shlamim. One of your favorite Chol HaMoed pasukim, right? So if that's the case, we should say that all of the dinim are ma'akev, and that the Mishnah was wrong and everything that it said, and everything would be ma'akev everywhere. Oh, that's a problem. Okay, so obviously Torah alone is not enough to teach that it's ma'akev. But chukah alone is enough to teach that it's ma'akev. So the chukah by Yom HaKippurim tells me that the dinim of the Yom HaKippur, like the Shnei Se'irim, are ma'akev. That's it. And the Torah of the Karbanot, because it's not coupled to chukah, does not teach us. So what we'll have to say is that Torah needs chukah, but chukah doesn't need Torah. Well, but understand, Rav said there's two things. He didn't say, I mean, the two things mean that there are two equal components over here. Rav said Torah v'chukah. So how are you explaining that? No, what he meant is that you shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that Torah apostles, he was saying, you look at the Parah Aduma, and you'll see, even though it says over there, Torah, Zot Chukat HaTorah, the reason that everything is Ma'akev is because of the Chukah part. That's the whole point he was making. If it says Chukah also, don't think Torah alone is enough. If it says Torah and it also says Chukah, then it's Ma'akev. That's what Rav meant to say. So, Iktiva Chukah, yes, then that's Ma'akev. But Ilo, lo. If not, it's not going to be Ma'akev. Okay, so now let's get to what, of course, we've been looking for all along. What do we do with the Korban Mincha? Now, by the Korban Mincha, we do have a Chukah. Kol Zachar Bivnei Aaron Yochlena Chok Olam. That's the closing of the Menachas. Sugya. And nonetheless, we have Rav's essential limud of what things in the mincha are ma'akev. So Rav said, the only things that are ma'akev in the mincha are places where the Torah repeated the need for that avodah. So kol makom sheichzira katuv b'torat mincha, wherever the Torah repeats a specific halacha in the dinim of mincha, that is to tell me, eino ela la'akev. The repetition is there to teach me ikuva, which means that despite the fact that it says chok olam by menachas, only hichzir, only places where the Torah repeated it, is it ma'akev lo hichzir lo, and if not, not. So now, that means that chukah does not mean it's ma'akev. Make up your mind. Well, that's not a kasha. Where does it say chukah by the mincha? It doesn't say anything about the avodah samincha. It says kol zachar bivnei aron yochlena chok olam. Now, that's one of Barnea's favorite psukim, because it means you gotta eat. And if you don't eat, it's okay. So this is chok olam. You could throw out any diet you got. It's a chok olam. Perfect. Sometimes it pays to be a coin. Now, if that's the case, how can you tell me that the Aveda should be Ma'ake because of the Achila? Obviously, the Achila is not the Aveda itself. So therefore, Ki Ktiva Chuka A'Achila Ktiva. It only says it on the Achila. Now, if that's the case, how do you explain the Lechem HaPanim? See, this is a wonderful review of all of the various halachas of both Zvachim, Menachas, of the different Menachas, and how it is that they interrelate with each other in terms of the various Avedas, in terms of the Dinim of Ikuva. So now let's take a look at the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim, it does say, in fact, Chok Olam. But what does it say Chok Olam on with the Lechem HaPanim? It says, Vaita la'aron levanav, v'yachlu b'makom kadosh, etc., etc., Chok Olam. So that Chok Olam is referring to what? Eating. And nonetheless, we treat the Lechem HaPanim as if it said chukah le'ikuva, because the Mishnah actually says, Shnei sidarim ma'akvim ze etze, Shnei vizichin ma'akvim ze etze, Ha'sidarim va'abizichin ma'akvim ze etze. Anything that you don't have messes up your lechem haponim, and they're not kosher. So you've got to have the full shnei sidor malachim, six on each side. You've got to have both of those bezichim, or you have nothing. You have to have both sidorim and bezichim, or you have nothing. Now, how do we know all of that? It only says chukah on the achila. So apparently, chukah on the achila is enough to be ma'akeh. So then, if that's the case, how do you explain the fact that Rav says when it comes to the mincha where it says chukah nachila, that the only time that something is ma'akev is if yichzira lavakatuv, which means only shana lavakatuv la'akev, that the Torah repeats it? So how do you explain the difference between the lechem haponim and the normal menachas? Oh, gosh. Okay. So then that means that kol eichad ktiva achila is going on everything. So then that should be true about Mincha too, even though it only says, B'nei Aaron Yochlena Chok Olam. It should go on all of the Avodah of the Mincha. So how do we explain Mincha then, according to Rav? Because Mincha is different. Why? Because, look, when it talks about the Kometz HaMincha, so it says over there, to take the Kometz, V'iktir HaKohen, Et Askarata, the Askarata is the Kometz, because that's the part that's going to be put on the Mizbeach, and it repeats for some weird reason, Migirsa Umishamna. What is that supposed to mean? Obviously, we know what it's made out of. We know that it's made out of Solet and Shemen. So it should have just said, I mean, we know from before that whole halacha, if it says over here, it's Geres and it's Shemen. So we learn from there, it is defined by Girsa, Shamna. That's the point. So that teaches us that what? For a mincha to be defined in a particular way, the Torah went out of its way to make it clear that it's the Mapik Hay that matters. It's Geres and it's Shemen. And if not, it's not it. That's the point. But I should ask myself, why did you have to do that in the Pusik? Doesn't it say Chok? So obviously, this is a gilui, that the chok that is said by the achil of the mincha does not apply to the dinim of the avodas hamincha, and there only if it's repeated is the Torah going to be ma'akev, and otherwise it's not ma'akev. Okay? That would allow Rav to have that particular halacha of requiring the shana lavakatuv la'akev by mincha and not go according to the chok. Now, let's go back to Rav's statement. Gufa. You said that Rav said, Komakom shechzilecha hakatuv betorat mincha inu elalakev. The point of saying something twice is to teach me that it's ma'akev. Whereas, now here, we're going to go look at that statement and see whether everybody agrees. So first of all, you should know that Shmuel says straight out Gufa from the pasuk that we just read that the only thing that is ma'akev the mincha is geres v'shemen. V'ein davar acher ma'akev. It's goofa the fact that we had that pasuk, v'isokta u'mishamna, and that is basically, it says that twice, migirsa u'mishamna. That's the place where it's actually going to be ma'akev. But otherwise, it won't be ma'akev, nothing else. So that is very strange. Because, look, I mean, we know all over the Dinim of Kachim, I mean, over the entirety of Seder Kachim, any time that Shana Lava Katuv, we always took for granted it's La'akev. You're telling me that Shmuel doesn't believe that? V'l'Shmuel afagav the Tanebe Kralo Ma'akvali? He doesn't hold of Shana Lava Katuv La'akev. I mean, that would mean he argues on dozens of sugyas where we never saw anybody arguing. And these were brises. These are not things he could just argue about. So that can't be what Shmuel means. What Shmuel must mean is this. Of course, if the Torah repeats it, it's ma'akev. Kolecha de tona beikra v'anai ma'akva. I would never discuss that. But over here, we're only talking about a particular case. And that is how to understand the two psukim that occur, which we've spoken about in the past. And on the one hand, the Torah says, Bikumtso, and on the other hand, it says, Melokumtso. And that question is the difference between Rav and Shmuel. So when it says, Veherim mimenu bikumtso, how does that relate to the psukim, a number of psukim that we have, where it says melokum tso? That pasuk we find in a few places. So we learn from there, in the Braita, shelo yaaseh mida lakomet. Since it says the word bikum tso, so it means when the Torah says to take melokum tso, it's not only a measurement. You might think if it's only a measurement, so let the Kohen take a measurement of the average komets that he does, and then he'll be able to make a container that has that amount of space and use that to do kmitza. And that would be his kosher kmitza, right? Therefore comes along the pasuk to say, no, it's got to actually be in his hand, bikum tso. So what's that din? So Rav is saying, well, this is something that the Torah actually was shana lav la'akev. Why is that? Because it says by the miluim, and obviously if it stresses that this is the way it was done, it's coming to tell us the way it should be done. So since it says there that Aharon HaKohen vayakrev et hamincha, and look at this word, vayimalecha po mimena, he filled his hands with it. I mean, we know that. Ah, so in other words, the Torah is telling me it's got to be in his hands, and if not, it's going to be ma'akev. So that means that it's actually a dover that's ma'akev. But Shmuel says, no, actually, it's not ma'akev. But Shmuel, I thought you agreed that wherever Shana Lava Katuv is la'akev, yes, but remember that the mincha that we're referring to over here is the mincha of the miluim. The Mincha de Miluim was a one-time historical occurrence, and therefore, Tanya Shmuel, how can you learn out as a standard halacha something that only appeared in the context of a one-time event? And that is called Dorot Misha'ah. You can't learn out the chiyuvim of all of the Dorot from something that was 1 hour of time on the earth. So Dorot Misha'ah lo yafina, this was special halacha. Oh, man, now I got you, but good. Oh, boy, do I got you. Ha! You're trying to tell me Shmuel holds that Dorot Misha'ah lo yafinan, huh? And I happen to know, and you will remember it as well, that Shmuel is Dafka, the one who does learn Dorot Misha'ah. Where? Ah, the famous Shmuel that we had right at the end of Zvachim. V'lo yalef Shmuel Dorot Misha'ah. What about the Mishnah that we had by Zvachim? Klei halach mekachinat halach umidot yavesh mekachinat yavesh. Do you remember that the only kind of containers that were made for yavesh are measuring containers, and the types of things that are made for things that are actually liquid, there were also non-measuring containers. I mean, to take a mizrak of dam, for instance, I mean, you can't measure a particular amount. It's whatever dam goes into that mizrak, right? Okay, so we call it clay. I'm going to call it the midot. The clay halach. So anything that was meant to be used in this carbon that's put into the kli, that gives it kedushas haguf, which makes all kinds of different halachas about it. It becomes able to be nivsa, betfuyom, belina. It can't be podri, all those different halachas. So there's mekadesh, and the midot hayavesh will be mekadesh, the yavesh that are meant to be put into them. But klei halach cannot be mekadesh the yavesh, and the midot hayavesh cannot be mekadesh the lach. Now Shmuel said, now this is only midot. That's what the Chachomim were saying. The midot are unable to be mekadesh a different type of thing. If it's a midah for liquid, then that has nothing to do with the types of measurements that are used for solids. And if it's something that's used for solids, it has nothing to do with type of things that are used for liquids because they're different measuring systems. You can't take a pint of flour. That's the point. And you don't take a kilo of milk. So therefore, the idea here is exactly the same. However, says Shmuel, definitely, if you're talking about, let's say, a mizrak, right? So a mizrak is not a measuring thing. It's whatever it falls in it. And those kind of things, they would certainly be mekadesh, even things that are solid. How do I know that? Because it says so beferish in the Yemei HaMiluim. Ha ha! We got Shmuel now. It says in the Yemei HaMiluim, Shneihem Eleim Sol. What's the Shneihem Eleim mean? Mizrakot. And Mizrakot are Eleim Solet. And that means that it's able to be mekadesh the solets. You see, clearly, says Shmuel, that in the Torah itself, it makes it obvious that the clay halach can be used for kedusha of the gift of the Nesiim. Now, the gift of the Nesiim was only a one-time event, and nonetheless, Shmuel is using it to define halach l'doros. I thought you just said that Shmuel doesn't learn out dorot from Shah. Ha-ha, got you there, don't I? Nope. Shiny awesome. Obviously, that's different. You might have noticed that it's repeated again and again and again and again and again. All right, I won't do it to you. 12 times, right? So it's repeated. So that's not just Shana Lava Kasav La Cave. That's drilling it into your brain, Lakev. So over there, Enoch Inami, if it were just the event, of course I wouldn't be able to learn out the Rot Misha'ah. But since the Torah repeats the whole Parsha 12 times, that's enough for me to understand that that is Shana Lavakatuv Le'akev. All right. So getting back to Rav. So now Rav said what? If we have in the Dinim of the Mincha, we have a repetition, so then it is actually going to be Ma'akev. Problem is that in the Mishnah, it says that Hagasha is not Ma'akev. And yet, Hagasha was repeated. And according to Rav, the Mishnah should have said, Lo Higish Pasul. And instead it says, Lo Higish Kasher. So how do you explain that? Where it does repeat it? I'll tell you. Where does it say the Ikuva? Show me. Well, it says, Zotorat HaMincha, HaKrev Ota B'nei Aaron Lifnei Hashem. Okay, so it said before, V'higisha, remember? That was all the way back at the beginning of Vayikra, the opening parsha of the Menachos. So what does it say? V'higisha el HaMizbeach. That's the Ve'eta HaMincha, etc., etc., V'higisha el HaMizbeach. So we know that you have to bring the Mincha up close, touch it to the Mizbeach, right? But then it says once again here, Zotorat HaMincha HaKrevota B'nei Aaron Lifnei Hashem. That's completely repetitious. So what should be the din? It should be, here's a great example of Rav's repeat. And Rav said, wherever the Torah repeats it, it's to teach me Ikuva. Answers, Rav, this is different. Because the repetition over here is to teach me a completely different halacha. It's not really repetitive, is it? Because if you look carefully, you'll see that there's two different places. There it says, Hakrevota lifnei Hashem. And in the other one, it says, Higisha al pnei HaMizbeach. I got news for you. The pnei Hashem is not the same as the pnei HaMizbeach. Now, is it? The pnei Hashem is what direction? Pnei Hashem is facing the Ma'arav. Because when you're facing the Heichal, you are standing looking back. This is very confusing to people. You're looking back when you're standing in the Azara. You're looking back in the direction of the Kotel Ma'aravi. Because in the Kotel Ma'aravi, you're at the back end of the Beis HaMikdash. So you've got to be facing west, not east. See, we got our heads on backwards a little bit. We always think east is the way you fast. But you're supposed to actually be facing towards the Petach of the Oel. Okay, so then you're facing west. And what's the face of the Mizbeach? Opnei Mizbeach. Is that west? No way. The face of the Mizbeach, as we learned in so many places, is Darom, where the Kevesh is. And that's where you walk up to the Mizbeach to the top, and that's where you come to the bottom. So make up your mind. Is it Opnei HaMizbeach, or is it to Lifnei Hashem? That, says Rav, is why we need these two psukim. Don't focus on the fact of Agosha. Look at the contradiction in the pasuk, and therefore its rich information. Ahulik bo'ala makomudiata. Those two psukim are not repetitive. They are teaching you where to bring it. Tichtiv, the Tanya. One pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem. Ah, so then you would think that means facing west. Yochol b'ma'arav. No. Talmud lomar alpnei HaMizbeach. Ah, so it can't be west. Okay, so if it says alpnei HaMizbeach, then alpnei HaMizbeach, I would think, okay, so then I should be facing south. No, excuse me, it said lifnei Hashem. So how can you possibly now incorporate those two dinim? Okay, tzad. Well, the solution is bring it up right at the edge of the Keren Dromit Ma'aravit Keneged Chudar Shel Keren V'dayo. If you put it up right at the diagonal, then you're facing the Mizbeach, but that diagonal faces west, and therefore the southwest corner. That's your solution, and it has nothing to do with repetitive dinim of Hagasha. The repetition is to teach me this halacha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Well, okay, so anyway, this is all that we need right now to understand. Rav, that's the answer. Once we already raised it, so we want to continue on till the end. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, let me tell you how I would put this. You might think that Hagasha should be done either towards a little bit the west of that corner, the sharp corner, or maybe to the south of the corner, right? Well, consider the logic of the situation. You've got two psukim. Now, koma kom shata motse shtei mikraot. You have two psukim which seem contradictory. But, if you think about it, one of these psukim would actually preclude the other. But the other one of these psukim would include the other. So if you've got a choice to do the thing which precludes or doing a thing which includes, you'd have to be pretty stupid to do the thing that precludes, right? So use your brains. Koma kom shata motze shtei mikraot. Echad mekayem atzmo mekayem chavero. One of these is not contradictory to another pasuk, whereas doing it the other way would be mekayem atzmo, but it would be mevatel et chavero. Then what does your brain tell you? Well, obviously, ignore doing things in a way that is going to be mekayem only it and mevatel the other pasuk, and choose for yourself v'tofsim et shemekayem atzmo umekayem chavero. Choose the pasuk that allows you to do both. So I say, says Rabbi Eliezer, if you chose the Lifnei Hashem to be in the Ma'arav, then you're not getting anywhere near the south of the Mizbeach, now are you, if you're facing west? Okay. But, so then you're being mevatel pnei HaMizbeach b'darom. But, if you're facing south on the Mizbeach, now you're going to still be mekayim the Ma'arav. Huh? Well, what am I missing here? I understand. If it's south, then it isn't west. Well, what's going on? on Rav Ashi, it's because we have this pact in Zvachim. Rebbe Eliezer holds that Kula Mizbeach B'Tzafon Koy. If the entire Mizbeach was in the northern part of the Azara, so where's the end of the Mizbeach? Where would that corner be? That corner would be smack bang in the middle of the Azara, correct? Because from that point on, it's north. At that point is the beginning of the south. Well, the beginning of the south is obviously the midpoint of the Azara between north and south, correct? Now, if it's at the midpoint of the Azara, then ask yourself, and where is the midpoint of the door when you go out of the Heichal? What do you see when you walk out of that door? You see that midpoint of the end of the Mizbeach, and therefore it is also facing to the west. Because as you come out of there, that's what you're going to see. Masha Ein Kein, if you put it only on the western side, then you don't see it from the south, you see? And therefore, it makes sense to say that, of course, you'd have to put it on the southwest corner. And that would be perfect, because that is just, if you go all the way to the south and don't put it at the corner, so then it was actually a little bit too far.